The Holy Gospel lesson today is taken from Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, and is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. But one of the most important verses, I think, is the final verse, where I believe Jesus makes reference to his own death and resurrection, a prediction on his part. We pick up with verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes back to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
It's wonderful here to be with you this morning on this Lord's Day to share the Word of God with you. You know, we all enjoy hearing those wonderful stories about people who persevere against great adversities in their lives, or who successfully overcome challenges that are before them. We admire such people. And this morning, as we approach the text from the book of Philippians, we can also admire the Apostle Paul, because he was one who indeed overcame many, many challenges and obstacles in his ministry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. He compared the Christian life in our text to a race. And he wrote about the attitude he had toward that race in his own personal life. That attitude is made clear in our text in the phrase, "I press on, I press on." And he uses that phrase twice in our text. For what did the Apostle Paul press on? What were his goals? And how did he achieve those goals? In our text this morning, Paul explains all of this and much more to the Philippian congregation, and also to us this morning, and to us, who the people who may be watching this message as well. As we consider Paul's goals and his means of attaining the goals mentioned in our text, we pray this morning by the Holy Spirit that the Lord may lead us to follow his Christian example in our own personal lives. Now, Paul was a dedicated man. He was zealous all his life. In fact, in the early chapter of chapter 3 and in many other places in his writings, he talks about his own personal religious devotion. Paul was not an evil man in his own eyes before he came to know the Lord, or in the eyes of his countrymen. He strove to be good, and he strove to do good in his life. And his primary goal was to be righteous before God with a godly life. He had all of the credentials, in fact. He was born a son of Abraham. He was one of those descendants that the Lord mentioned to Abraham when he said, look at the stars. See, that's how many descendants you will have. Well, one of those could have been, we might say, the Apostle Paul. He was born of the chosen people of Israel, raised in the Jewish faith from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a true Hebrew, and he strictly adhered to the teachings of his faith. Paul was also a strict Pharisee, and we know those are mentioned in the Bible, do we not, in the New Testament? A strict Pharisee who kept the law as perfect as anyone was able to keep it. No one could find fault in his dedication and life. Now, in Paul's great zeal and dedication to his faith, he became a persecutor of the Christian people, those who believed in Jesus, those he saw were departing from the one true faith to follow Christ. But now he writes in our epistle lesson for this morning, what I once thought made me righteous, he now regards as rubbish compared to the riches of faith, the riches of the grace, the riches of God's love given and poured out upon him in Jesus Christ. Paul was a different man. Paul was completely 100% transformed. It wasn't anything that Paul did, but it was what Jesus did. Jesus found Paul on the road to Damascus. And through that blinding light and through his heavenly voice, he took hold of him so that Paul would know him, and not only know him, but know the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Jesus would use Paul to spread the gospel, the message of salvation, wherever he went throughout the known world or the world at that particular time. Paul came to understand, was given new understanding through the Holy Spirit and through his revelation that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the promised Savior, that Jesus was the Son of God, and that Jesus, as he writes in many of his other epistles, was very God of very God. Even though he was man, yet God was in Jesus. Jesus was God, who came into the world, who lived and died for him. And we celebrate this morning, who lived and died for each and every one of us to take away our guilt, to take away our sin, so that we may know the abundant life in Christ our Lord, who rose from the dead on the third day and demonstrated his power and his victory over sin, death, and yes, even the powers of Satan. Paul came to understand through trusting, not in himself, but in the merits of Jesus Christ, he would receive and did receive the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. And that promise is also given to each one of us this morning, and we rejoice in that knowledge. And because of this, all of Paul's Pharisaic righteousness in his eyes now amounted to nothing. To nothing. In fact, everything in his life was a loss compared to knowing Christ and being found in Christ, meaning being found in a relationship with Christ as his Lord and his Savior. All of Paul's former goals in his life and his former purposes of living suddenly became irrelevant, became nothing to him. All he had lived for was rubbish, indeed garbage, compared to God's righteousness through faith in Christ. His new goal was now to know Christ and to know the power of the resurrection. Think about that. What does that mean, to know the power of the resurrection? Meaning to know the transformation that comes through Christ, the power of the resurrection that literally changed the world on Easter Sunday when it was announced he is risen, he's not dead, he is alive and the Savior of all people. The power of the resurrection that has changed our life, changed our direction. That's what Paul came to know. Paul also wanted to share in the sufferings of Christ. to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul, in our text, speaks of knowing Christ, speaks of gaining Christ, being found in Him, and having a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this knowledge doesn't mean that Paul simply had some head knowledge about the life of Jesus and a few of his sayings and a few of his teachings and a few of the things he did. No, it was much more than that. Paul is speaking about his tremendous appreciation for Christ, his heart that was overflowing with thanksgiving for God's grace and forgiveness given to him in his life. So wonderful is this relationship that Paul considers anything and everything, again, as rubbish, as garbage, compared to knowing Christ. Christ was number one, preeminent, all important in his life, to be found in Christ. Yes, we can see in this text that Paul had a deep and abiding relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. He loved his Lord, his Savior, and his God. And that relationship, again, this morning brings us the righteousness of Christ. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. And you see, it was this relationship, this blessed relationship with Christ that motivated Paul, that spurred him on, motivated Paul in all of his life and all of his work, where he writes that he worked tirelessly, gave 100% every day in working for the kingdom of God. Again, Jesus was Paul's Savior, Paul's Lord, Paul's God, and Paul's friend. A friend. One of the beautiful things that Scripture tells us is that through Jesus, we recognize Him as our Lord and God, but Scripture also says that the disciples of Jesus, the follower of Jesus, are our friends of God. Through Christ, we are a friend of God, changed by the blood of Jesus to be His children. What a wonderful blessing. And the ultimate goal of each and every one of us as we live out our lives, we know our life will come to an end, and that ultimate goal is heaven. This past week, one of the members of this congregation, known by probably most everyone, Vernon Meyer, passed away. He and his wife were dedicated members of this congregation. His whole life he was involved in this ministry. And his whole goal was to attain the promise of heaven. And that is what he has attained now through faith in Christ. The same goal that we look forward as Christians to attain. The goal of heaven and to be with Jesus. And this promise is for each one of us this morning. What a blessing. To all who believe in Jesus. And there we will see Jesus as He is. We will see our Lord. We will be united with all the saints of heaven. Our goal here now, while we are here, is to do the work of the Lord. Our goal here now is, Paul reminds us, to be like Christ. Martin Luther, the Reformer, said we are to be like little Christ, living in the world, reflecting Jesus in everything that we do, to reflect His love and His forgiveness in our lives, in our homes. We're to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Jesus tells His followers, all men you will know that you are My disciples by your love. By your love. Paul, in our text, gives us this inspired advice how to attain these goals. First, he admits, he says, I'm not already there. I'm not perfect. I'm not like Jesus. I'm not in heaven, but I press on to take hold of that which took hold of me, Jesus. And he writes these words, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In order to press on, he forgets the past, and notice, he says he doesn't look back. He doesn't look back. Paul says these words, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press onward toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. the apostle gives us some really great advice here, trying to forget, first of all, trying to forget our problems, trying to forget the things that weigh us down in life, things that may have happened in the past, things that cause us guilt. Isn't easy to do, is it? It's not easy to do. But St. Paul instructs us to stop looking back, because you won't be able to move forward if you're always looking back and remembering the past and reliving the guilt. Isn't that true? So Paul reminds us in our text, as God's people who are forgiven, who are beloved by our Savior, to forget the past and to move on. Focus on the positive. And if we remember anything of the past, we remember our mistakes and our sins, and we learn from those things and move forward with the prayer that the Holy Spirit would help us to overcome those same mistakes and sins so we don't fall back into them and end up reliving the guilt that they brought into our lives. Take what we've learned from the past, Paul says also, and move forward. Paul tells us to strive with everything we have to move forward to the goal, and that is to be like Christ, to be like our Savior. Paul encourages us to place all of our energies in that one direction, the direction of Jesus, and go in that direction and move forward. He gives us, in fact, a picture in our text of a runner in a great race, stretching forward with great effort, with great energy, with great intensity and concentration to reach the tape at the finish line and break through that tape and win the prize, win the goal. The runner who looks back slows down. That's why he says, keep moving forward. In fact, many years ago, I remember a film I watched, Chariots of Fire. It's still a good, very good movie to watch. But in the movie, the film Chariots of Fire, a runner looks back just before he finishes the finish line in the 1920 Olympics. And that brief, momentarily backward glance ends up costing him the race and the prize, because he slowed down just enough to enable the other runner to pass him. And that runner got the goal, won the prize. Now, as we look at Paul with his tremendous enthusiasm and great faith, we might say, well, that's easy for Paul. I mean, he was a giant of the faith. He had a personal relationship with Christ. God called him on the road to Damascus. He was one of the great pillars of the church. What did he have to worry about? What did he have to forget? What happened in his life that caused him great guilt? Well, all you have to do is look closely at his life and you discover some skeletons there in his closet as well. Remember that Paul, who was so zealous as a Pharisee, became even more zealous towards the Christians in persecuting them. He saw and seeked out written documents so that he could go to Damascus, arrest the Christians there, put them in prison, and maybe even have them put to death. In fact, he was present and a part of the group of those people who stoned Stephen, the first martyr. It's fascinating that Paul was there. And I think it's fascinating, too, Stephen's prayer, if you recall it. When Stephen was being stoned and before he died, he said he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, don't hold the sin that these people are doing in stoning me against them. And sometimes I wonder if maybe the Lord looked down and said, you know, Stephen, I'm not going to hold the sin of that man, Saul of Tarsus, who he would call to be Paul. And God answered Stephen's prayer in calling him to be an apostle. God reached out to him in Stephen's prayer and request. And no doubt Saul, who became Paul, tried to convince all others that Jesus was the Christ as well, who might have been there, who he might have met. Paul regretted those past activities. He didn't like looking back and remembering those things. He asked God for forgiveness, and he accepted the forgiveness and the grace of God given to him. He does talk about how gracious God was to forgive him of his many sins, even those in ignorance. And that made him even more dedicated and committed to spreading the gospel of Jesus and willing to also be persecuted for Christ's name as well. Paul didn't look back anymore, but dedicated his entire life, as we see in his epistles, written to congregations to encourage them in their faith, walk, follow and believe in Jesus, and to spread the message of his salvation. To be sure, we are not to forget everything in the past either. God encourages us to remember his blessings and all the good things that have come our way in this life. The psalmist reminds us when he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." So we're good to remember all the things that God has given us, especially when we go through the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation for the first, second, and third article, all of the things there to remember what God has done for us. And even the things of the past that have caused us heartache because of our sin or mistakes we've made are lessons to teach us to live a better life, to learn from those things. We pray that the Holy Spirit would help us so that we could live for Christ in the present and move on in the future. Indeed, the memory of God's goodness and grace in our life inspires us this morning and should inspire us every day, as it did Paul, to move forward, to move on. Scripture teaches us when we confess our sins, God, who is rich in mercy, forgives our sins and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. He heals us inwardly. And then God, who forgives our sins, will no longer hold those sins against us or those charges against us. He doesn't want your past to haunt you this morning, so that you cannot move forward. If something is weighing heavily on your heart or heavily on your mind this morning, give it to Jesus and then move forward. Move forward in the name of Jesus, leaving it behind, pressing on towards the goal. Through Jesus' innocent suffering, death, and his dying and resurrection, God removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And indeed, that is music to my ear, and I'm sure it's music to your ear as well. And we pray this morning that God would give us that peace to enable us to move forward as well. Sometimes life becomes difficult and hard, and we all go through that because we live in a fallen world. Life can be like a marathon to some extent. Each of us have our daily struggles, and you know what those struggles are. And we need strength, and we come to God's house, and God says, "I will give you the strength. I will give you the purpose to move forward in your life and to put those things behind you so that you can reflect upon the blessings that I have brought in your life through my Son." Jesus did not leave us alone or abandon us when he ascended into heaven. No, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do his work while we are here on this earth. He promises to remain with us to the end and even beyond. He left us the means of grace, his word, the power of God in the scriptures, the power of God, and also the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, to strengthen us through those means as the Holy Spirit operates to build faith in our life. It's power to give us the ability to live for Christ now. And we celebrate that. God doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He's given us his grace and the means by which to strengthen us. Even as we hear Paul's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, strengthen us this morning, and to look beyond this earthly life to our heavenly life with Christ. The Holy Spirit motivates us to strive to be like Jesus, to cherish the righteousness that he has given us through faith in our Lord and Savior, even to accept the suffering that may be a part of it, the suffering that is part of life. And through that, Paul says God uses suffering to create character and to refine our faith. Again, Paul says, I press on. So this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let's apply that to ourselves, to our personal devotion life. Let's resolve to take our faith life more seriously than maybe our favorite sport, than maybe our favorite hobby or anything else. Let's follow Paul's example and imitate Christ through love and through good deeds with one another. And as we do, let's testify of our risen Christ to those around us. Let's be that light, that salt, so that others can join us in the race as we press on, and they too, you see, can attain the goal of heaven. May God bless us to that end, and bless this congregation, and bless the Church of Christ throughout the world this very day, we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of Almighty God, which truly transcends all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we now continue our service with our prayers. Would you please rise? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before you with grateful and thankful hearts for the gift of salvation you have given us through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that through his death and resurrection, you have forgiven our sins so that we can move forward individually in our life and corporately as a church. We pray your blessings would rest upon us today, remove the guilt that may be keeping us back, and give us that freedom and the forgiveness, that assurance that is in Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to move forward, to press on, to finish the race, and one day receive the prize of heaven. Bless your church at large, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and wherever God's people gather around the globe. Strengthen us in our faith, especially those who endure persecution because of their faith. And give wisdom to the leaders of the church. And also guide the church always to your word, that they may hold it sacred and true and trustworthy. Bless us, we pray, through your inspired word and through the sacraments, the means of grace, to carry on your work in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we also pray for our nation and for all who occupy positions of authority over us, men and women that you have raised up to govern this great land. Give wisdom from on high and lead them, we pray, to the sacred scriptures, where they can know your wisdom and your love in Christ as well. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, also be with our brothers and sisters who are in the armed forces. Watch over them, protect them, guide them, and enable those individuals who know you to bear light of the Savior to those all around them and point others to Jesus and to the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Also, gracious Lord, be with those in our prayers this morning on our hearts, those who might be suffering, going through a difficult crisis within their life, facing an illness. Not only those listed before us in our bulletin, but those we know in our own minds and hearts. Be with them and strengthen them in their faith. Give them courage as they face their illness. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you would grant healing as well to them and to those in whom we also pray for, other people in our hearts and minds. Also, we remember the family of Vernon Meyer. We give thanks for his faith. And we give thanks that he has kept the faith, finished the race, and has received the crown of eternal life through Christ. Comfort his family, his wife, and all those who mourn his loss. Enable us not to mourn as those who have no hope, but that our hope may be found and grounded in the powerful resurrection of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray your blessings upon those who celebrate their birthdays or anniversaries this month. Continue to bless them with great faith and use them in your kingdom, and help us to see each one of us as part of the church to carry out your work. We're those living stones, Lord, to be that light and salt to so that people can see. Lord, in your mercy. We bring all of these prayers and petitions now before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.